This morning, I've got something just to bring to you. I want to say a massive thank you, first of all, before we do, to Andrew Dunsire. He's been doing slides every week just with different Psalms and putting them together for Mark, and he's done the same for me this week. And his work's just incredible. So, Andrew, thank you so much for your commitment and everything you've been doing with them. It's Psalm 25 we're going to be looking at this morning, and afterwards we're going to be talking about hope. Hope for life, really, you know. And I think that for me, one of the things that defines believers throughout this time, and just in general, should be hope. Hope is such a wonderful thing, and it's what we're going to be talking about this morning. There was this line at the start, but I hope you caught it, because it's one of the lines that we'll be going back to this morning and thinking about. But in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. And then this last line, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. What a promise that is. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Well, it's one of these things that as we start to look and as we start to go through this morning, I just want to start off with one thought. And it's really interesting at the moment with COVID-19. But there's this question that's been coming to mind for me for a long time. And it says, what you carry worth catching? I'm sure you can see it there. But I guess the thought process behind it is, for me, the virus of COVID-19, the pandemic, it spread super quickly. It's been a really crazy time to live in. And just to echo everything that's been said over the last few weeks about it and having to live under the isolation and social distancing and all these different implications, which are correct to live through at the moment, but it's such a strange time. And I think for me, it got me thinking, because the only thing that seemed to spread faster than the COVID virus was the fear of it, that people started to live in fear of it before the effects of it really taken hold. It started to cripple people, crippled the way that we were living our lives and our freedom. And it's really interesting how fear can spread so quickly. And to me, fear is almost the opposite of hope. And I think for me, that question of, is what you carry, is it worth catching? Each of us as Christians are in a situation where we all carry something. Something of great value and something of great significance. There's a passage that I'd like to share with you, just to take you down this avenue of thought. And it's in John 14, and it's Jesus saying this to the disciples. But he says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But let me read that last bit again. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, the thing is, as Christians, what we carry within us is the Holy Spirit. What a gift, right? And recently, in terms of the service, if you're part of the church here and part of the church family here, you'll know that Mark went through a series for a long period of time where we were looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And we were looking at love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, which the Bible tells us are the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So anybody who is walking by the Spirit is going to display those wonderful characteristics in their life. They sound like people who would be full of hope. Who would be full of hope. And that, to me, is the life that we're called to as Christians. See, it's funny. I think that I was having this thought earlier on the week. I have people in my life, friends and family and all sorts who, you know, they can be going through some really tough times. Life can be really hard. And actually, even in that circumstance, there are people who are defined by the hope they have. You could be meeting with them thinking that because of their life circumstances, they have every reason to be feeling sorry for themselves, or to be down, or to be struggling, to be negative in conversation, but you still know that in meeting with them and having a chat with them, that you're going to have a great experience, because they are just people defined by positivity and hope. And then there are other people in our lives, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this too, who maybe you can look at their life externally and think, man, life is pretty good for you right now. But you still know that in a conversation with them, it's going to be a tiring conversation, that they'll find reasons to be negative, that it could be draining to spend time with them, even although we love them. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes, and I would say in a lot of circumstances, our life circumstances can dictate how we conduct ourselves, but a lot of the time, it's our glass half empty, glass half full attitude that does it, because you can find reasons to be hopeful in all circumstances, and you can find reasons not to be in all circumstances. And it's just a really interesting thought as we're going through this time about hope. So there's one more verse that I'd like to share with you just now. It's from Romans 5, and it's Paul talking about, as we go through life, how things can look. So let me read this to you. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What a fantastic gift, right? We're saying a minute ago that the Holy Spirit resides within us and can bring forth all this fruit in our life. And even in that passage in Romans 5, I think the one universal truth for all of us is that we're going to go through suffering in our life. You know, everybody does. But it's fascinating because this passage tells us that actually we find glory in our suffering. Why? Because it teaches us to persevere. It teaches us to keep going, to not give up just because life gets hard. And then even beyond the perseverance leads to what? It leads to character building. And I think what it's getting at in that statement is that our character becomes more like that of Jesus. That we start to grow to become more like our Savior, because he is the ultimate example of perseverance through suffering. And as we choose to do that, and our character develops to be more and more like that of Jesus, what is the final outcome of that? It's hope. That actually, as we persevere, and as our character changes, we become people defined by the hope that we have. What a gift. And that's all brought forward in our life by the Holy Spirit. As you start to reflect on that and to think about that, it's just wonderful to think that as a people, we can be constantly defined and built up by that hope. Is what you carry as a person worth catching? Is the faith that you have throughout this time something that you would want other people to have? Is the joy and hope that exists in your life through this pandemic something that you would want other people to have? You know, it can look so different, this pandemic, for so many. You know, for some of us, it is gifted family time in a sense. You know, we're working less, we're home more, and the family are there. And in a weird sense, the isolation has led to almost a time of blessing at home. And for others of us who are in a situation where we're more isolated or where home situations are a lot more difficult, this pandemic has been an incredibly difficult thing. Well, with that being the case, how do we hope? How do we look Christ-like throughout this time? It's a big question, but one that I would hope that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would all be able to achieve. Do you know, it reminded me of a story when I was thinking about this, and it reminded me of a story from Mark 10. And I love bit part players in the Bible. It's kind of a bit of a favorite of mine, is people who have little sections about them, but there's just things in their character that are so admirable and that you just fall in love with. And the passage I want to share with you this morning is from Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, and it's about a blind beggar called Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is a really fascinating guy. But I'm going to read this passage with you, and then we'll have a chat about it on the other side. But enjoy the story, because it's just a bit crazy. So it's going to come up on the screen now. But Mark chapter 10, and it says this. So the disciples and Jesus. Then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." But many people rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. What a fascinating story. You know, there's just aspects to that story, little bit after a little bit, that you're just like, whoa, okay. And I just want to break it down a little bit and have a bit of a chat with you. But as a person defined by hope, I love Bartimaeus. I think he's wonderful. You look back at that time in history, and if you were afflicted in any way, physically, mentally, if you had something wrong with you that as a person made you different in society, you were actually deemed in a lot of senses as being afflicted by God, that you must have done something to end up the way that you are. Now, nowadays, we know so different to that. You know, we would never, ever think that to be true. But back then, that was how they thought. So if Bartimaeus was at the side of the street begging and blind, well, the thought process would have been he must have done something. Like he's outcast from society because he deserves to be, right? It's an incredibly harsh perspective. And if you think, if you were Bartimaeus throughout that time, and you've had that opinion on you for the majority of your life, how do you become a hopeful person through that? How do you do that? But the fascinating thing is that when he hears Jesus is coming to town, he ain't letting nobody stop him. I love that about him, that he's kind of like, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And as soon as he shouts that, you can almost hear the crowd just turning around and being like, dude, know your place. You're an outcast. You're sitting on the side of the street. You're blind. You're a beggar. He's not got time for folk like you. Just shushed. Sit and be quiet and let him get on with his day. And as soon as people say that to him, Bartimaeus, of course, like so many people do in the Christian faith, when they're down-talked or when they're shouted down, just goes quiet, turns into a shrinking violet, stays in the background, lets Jesus pass on by. Oh, no, wait, he just shouts all the more, right? He's like, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't care what these people are saying. I'm going to shout it because you have to hear me. And then he hears him. And there's this wonderful moment where Jesus is just like, call him over. Call him over. Let him come be part of it. And Bartimaeus changes from being local outcast to local celeb in one sentence. Everybody's looking over. Going, Bartimaeus, it's your lucky day, man. He's calling you. Get up, go see him. And see the faith that Bartimaeus exercises at this point. I'd never noticed it before. I don't know how many times I've read this story. I'd never noticed it. And it just struck me this week, and I love it. I love it so much. That when Jesus calls him, when the crowd are inviting him over, what does he do? Did you notice it, or did it slip by you? He gets up, or he jumps up. Love that language, right? Bartimaeus is like, yes, mate, I'm coming. So jumps to his feet, throws his cloak aside, and goes to Jesus. Now throws his cloak aside. What a wonderful image. Not just image, reality of what happened. But the reason that I love that so much is if you're a blind beggar, what worldly possessions do you own? Very little. Very little. What's your security? What's your warmth? What's the thing that keeps you safe at night? What's the thing that your livelihood, in a sense, is based around? Well, for Bartimaeus, his cloak was extremely precious. It was the thing that kept him warm on the cold nights, probably where all his worldly possessions were kept. And in the moment where Jesus says, Bartimaeus, come to me, Bartimaeus is just like, do you know what? All that I have, it doesn't matter compared to that. All of it goes, I don't care, I'm jumping to my feet, I'm going to Jesus. I've shouted him down, he's listened, he's called me, I ain't leaving now. Throws his coat to the side, his security, everything that matters to him in that sense. Throws it all away so that he can follow Jesus and go to him. What an image of faith. What an image of hope that Bartimaeus is like, man, because I tell you what, throwing that cloak to the side was a dangerous move. Because if he went to Jesus and nothing happened, there's no guarantee he's getting it back. But he had an expectation that in contact with Jesus, his life was going to be transformed. That it was going to be changed. He was going to be different. That he would meet with Jesus. He could jump up and toss his cloak to the side because after he had been with them, things were going to change. And in that expectation, he moves to Jesus. And Jesus asks the question that I think so many would love to hear God ask them. Bartimaeus, What do you want? What would you like me to do for you? And then in our politically correct world, I think so often the answer that would come out from so many in our society would be generic big goals. I want you to make everything okay. I want you to do something, but nothing personal. We don't get to that stage. We make them big and safe, right? And Bartimaeus, he actually thinks, do you know what? What's on my heart is what I'm asking for. Jesus, I've spent my whole life unable to see. I want to see. You know, there are bigger, there are more noble goals to see. Be things like, I want Jericho to be the greatest city to worship you ever. Might have been a great thing to ask. Pray that the world is just fixed and everything is wonderful. But all these right things that we can ask and noble things that we can ask so often are not the true things that are on our hearts that God really knows. And Bartimaeus is not shirking it. He's happy to ask the big question, what he wants. Jesus says, what do you want? He says, Jesus, I want to see. I want to see. What a wonderful statement. And then Jesus says, well, your faith made you well. Wonderful moment for Bartimaeus. He gets to see. And then actually, he becomes one of the people that then follow Jesus and moves on from that place. Now, I'm not going to get into all the semantics about healing and why did that happen and why did other healings not. That's not for today, but what a wonderful story of faith and expectation and Jesus coming through and the faith and the hope that Bartimaeus had that would not relent. I love Bartimaeus. And as us as people today, we have the Holy Spirit living and working within us. Are we people in that circumstance defined by that faith? Throughout this pandemic, are we people who are calling, Jesus, have your way, we love you, we turn to you? And then as there's so many questions that we struggle to answer about the whys or the hows or when's it going to end or the isolation and all the struggles that go along with this time, when they come to the fore of our thoughts and are asked by the external world and come in the media and everything else, do we then step back from shouting Jesus' name? Because we don't know where to go at that point. Or do we continue to shout it, trusting that Jesus is enough, that the Holy Spirit in us is enough, and that we will not be put to shame, and that our hope is enough to keep going? I want to go back to this story one more time and read it to you in Mark 10. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man called Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. One thing that is so cool, even about that statement, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, Bartimaeus is having an insight that few in the Gospel of Mark have had up to this point. That statement is a recognition that Jesus has come through the lineage of David. It's a recognition that Jesus may well be the Messiah that we've been waiting on. And Jesus, up to this point, has not really announced that about himself. Bartimaeus is one of the few to make that connection. All the more reason for the crowd to shout, shushed. All the more reason for the crowd to say, stop it. You're making assumptions, you're making connections, you're jumping to conclusions, you're making a fool out of yourself, Bartimaeus. Stop talking. And then as we continue on with the story, as you guys will see, there is this fantastic moment where Bartimaeus, after many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, all he did was shout all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped him and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up on your feet, he is calling you. And then this is the bit we were saying earlier about Bartimaeus, just as it comes over. Throwing his cloak aside, what a moment, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and then followed Jesus along the road. What a guy, what an example of faith, what an example of hope and expectation. And throughout this time, I just hope and pray for each of us that we will be people defined by the hope that we have in Jesus, not defined by the circumstances and surroundings in our life. The great thing about being a Christian and having the Holy Spirit at work within us is that our situation, our life circumstances do not define us, because what we know is that one day it will all be made right. that we get glimpses of the kingdom coming now. We get glimpses of moments. One of my favorite things about this pandemic, which in itself is a weird statement, is seeing how society has drawn together in so many places, the generosity of people, where people are sharing and caring, looking after the elderly in their communities, where we're looking after the vulnerable, where the things that have become important in life are actually things like family, taking care of people, getting back to the stuff that really matters. And that's been one of the wonderful things that has happened through this pandemic. And actually, there is reason for glory now. We see the light of Jesus. We see the light of God here on earth throughout this time, because the one place that Jesus is in all suffering is with the people who are suffering. But at the same time, I want to just make one final thought on this. It can so often feel throughout this pandemic that everything's changed, you know? Before, we could have been social, we could have gone out, seen friends, been part of work in the workplace, and actually all of life seems to have changed in so many senses. But actually, from a spiritual standpoint, nothing has. Jesus is still the same Jesus he's always been. The Holy Spirit is still at work within you and available to you. God the Father still loves you the way he always has. And everything and nothing has been a phrase that has been coming to me time and time again throughout this period, that we often feel like God does nothing, right? That we go through this time and that we're praying for this, that, and the next thing, and you may see some of the prayers come to pass and be answered, but maybe not in the time frame that we'd like, not in the way that we would like, and it can be like, God, what are you even doing? And we can feel like we're doing everything to try and live the best life that we can throughout this time, but I just want to challenge that thought and say, God has already given everything. Jesus has came. He lived a sinless life. He was put to death on the cross unfairly. He resurrected, all to show the value that you have to God. All to win you back, all so that your value, like we were talking about in the kids' talk earlier, can be made complete, that you can be washed completely clean from anything that's gone on in your life, and you can come back to your Savior. Jesus has done everything we could ever ask of God and more. He has shown love for us in a way we could never have expected or asked for. He has been more graceful than we ever could have expected or asked for, and that is all still the same it's always been. See, Jesus did everything and God did everything to win us back, and what he demands in return for us is almost nothing. It's an acceptance of what he's done. It's, God, thank you so much that you viewed me as worth dying for. I want to live for you. That's the return. God has done everything for us. His demand in return is nothing compared. It's what you carry as a person worth catching. The Holy Spirit in you, the hope you're living with throughout this time, where your character is, how you are living just now, is that something that you would want other people to have? And finally, although it feels like everything's changed in terms of life and the way we're living and our circumstances just now, nothing has. From a spiritual standpoint, nothing has. The Holy Spirit still resides in you. He's still working in you. He is still speaking to you, drawing all the fruit of the Spirit out in your character and drawing you to himself. Jesus has still saved you. And God the Father is still there for you. See, it's some crazy times at the moment. But there is reason to hope in all circumstances. There are reasons for joy in all circumstances, because God is better than you think he is. He's bigger than you think he is. He loves you more than you think he does. And he's with you throughout this time. I hope you feel encouraged and full of hope going ahead this week, because actually in every circumstance, there's reason for hope. In grief, there is people we will see again. In isolation, there is still God beside us. And every situation can change. Every situation can turn for good. And one day, it will all be made right. So let's live with the hope and joy of lives changed and won by Jesus, and be people defined by the joy and the hope we have, rather than the circumstances of this world and many who may rebuke us in the crowd, because no one who puts their hope in the Lord will be put to shame. Guys, let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you so much that your words are not just words, they're the truth. That, Jesus, we know that you are God incarnate. That what you tell us is true, and that the Holy Spirit that resides in us is there to enable us to live the life that you would call us to. God, I want to thank you that our value to you is infinite, that your care for us is infinite, that you have already done everything you could ever have done to win us back. And Jesus, I pray that we would know your love and your grace and your hope throughout this time. And no matter what that looks like for our life, I pray that we can be people defined by joy and hope, that the fact that we exist in our communities, even under the isolation restrictions, would mean that we are a blessing. That God, we would see chinks of your kingdom coming into our lives throughout this time. And God, we would be able to glory in our suffering, because suffering brings perseverance. That makes our character more like you, and that brings hope. And we know that no one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame. Thank you for your goodness and your grace in our lives. And I want to pray a blessing on each one of us, that we would know your grace and your spirit with us this week. God, thank you for your goodness. It is mind-blowing how great you are. And I pray this all in Jesus' great name, and thank you for all you've done. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we are going to carry on just now in worship. Excited to finish that way. It is wonderful to worship together. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. We will be together on the other side of this worship too for a final little thing. But thank you so much. Let's worship.